Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host Luke Anthony Wood, and with me today is Drew Doherty of the Houston Texans. Drew, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Always good to talk with you, Anthony.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, it's week one. It's an exciting time. Thank goodness football is finally back. How excited are you to have proper football back again?
Oh, Anthony, you say excited. I say elated. I say ecstatic. I mean, there's lots of E words, lots of other words you can use. In all truthfulness, I've been ready for this since, you know, we were walking off the field after the loss to the Colts, because, you know, I didn't think that was a team that the Texans really were last year.
And
I
think
they played pretty much their worst game of the year that day, and the Colts played great and deserved to win that day. But yeah, I've been ready for the season to get going since way back when, man.
Absolutely. So how have preparations been going so far for Bill O'Brien's side this week?
I think they've been pretty good. You know, the proof will be in the pudding Monday night, but seems like they've been going pretty solidly. They've practiced inside NRG Stadium each of the 3 days that they've actually worked this week. I imagine they'll go inside again tomorrow. And, you know, in a lot of those, if not all of those practices, they've had piped in crowd noise for it, because it's going to be loud on Sunday night when the offense is on the field. So, you know, they got to work on silent communication, getting the snap right, all that stuff. And I think it's been a good solid week of work.
And how much, you mentioned obviously the audio they've been pumping in, and they had, I saw the Saints logos everywhere in the stadium. How much do you think that's going to help them prepare for what is inevitably going to be an enormous atmosphere at the Superdome?
Well, it certainly can't hurt, because there will be familiarity there. It'll be, you know, they always say the practice makes perfect and all that stuff. You know, they'll have gone through that and seen something similar to that in the run-up to the game. It's, you know, it's been quite a while since they've actually played a football game, much less one on the road. You got to go back to the Dallas game a few weeks back, and then you talk about the Rams game, but none of the starters, none of the main contributors were really suiting up in that one either. So you wanted to get them some sort of familiarity with game situation, and you're never going to replicate that in a practice. I mean, it's one thing to pipe in noise and do those things in a practice in an empty NRG stadium, as opposed to actually playing against the Saints inside the Superdome.
Absolutely. So as we head into Monday night, are there any injury concerns at this point in time that we should keep a close eye on?
You know, you knock on wood, and it looks like this is a pretty healthy team. We'll get the first injury report later today, so we shall see who's listed as questionable. I imagine there'll be quite a few players listed as questionable that are actually going to just wind up suiting up. But, you know, the big one is still, I think, wide receiver Kiki QT. When last we saw him, he was coming off the field in Green Bay with a leg injury that looked just horrendous. But, you know, he's been out of practice this week. We'll see how much he's actually worked. Because we're out at practice in the portion where they're basically stretching and getting set to work. We don't actually see any plays or formations. But it's been good that he's been out there, you know, as opposed to being in the, you know, the training room getting better. So I think he's probably the main one. O'Brien has said a few times this week and late last week, while he's trending in the right direction, QT is, you're probably still not going to see him against the Saints. But he said, you know, don't rule it all the way out. So it's kind of like a doubtful, I would suppose, but not totally ruled out yet.
Certainly. Well, obviously, we're hoping for a big season from QT, so maybe one more game to just sit out and get ready is not such a bad thing. In his absence, obviously, the Texans are likely to line up DeAndre Carter in the slot quite a bit. I mean, have you seen much from him recently on offense?
Well, he's looked great, Anthony, since he came back in the middle of training camp. I mean, he picked up right where he left off. And you got to remember, he joined this team in early November. Joined the team and immediately made an impact on special teams. He was your best punt returner. Averaged about 9 yards and change return, and then had to play a lot of slot receiver last year, and he was essentially your number two receiver heading into week 17. It was a banged up DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Carter, because the team had lost Will Fuller, they had lost Demaryius Thomas, Kiki QT was still rehabbing, Vincent Smith was, you know, less than a year out of Limestone College. So, you know, he kind of joined the team on the fly last year. But now he's had the benefit of a full offseason in the program. And he was very crisp and very sharp and did a good job in that role as a slot receiver. Now, he's not Kiki QT, but he still does some really good things and some explosive things underneath that I think can help the Texans out.
Absolutely, and I agree. I've really liked what I've seen from him so far this preseason. I'm very optimistic about his year ahead. So, obviously, sticking with the wide receiver core, we had Kenny Stills come in recently. How has he looked so far to you from what you've been able to see?
From everything we hear, he's looked really good. He's one of those smart receivers in the film room. He's asking great questions. The offense is fairly similar to what he was learning this offseason in Miami. So it's not like he's going from apples to oranges.
Yep.
It's a good transition there. And I think, and I know the Texans are excited that he's in the fold because he gives you another bona fide deep threat. And he's also a guy, he can play in the slot. He's a very smooth route runner, Bill O'Brien says. And Watson's liked having him in here. Watson said he's fit in well. I did an event last night with Andre Johnson, and Andre has kind of echoed those same things as well. He's very excited to see what Stills brings to this offense because, like I mentioned a moment ago, I mean, they were really, really banged up at the end of last year, and now it looks like, knock on wood, you got some weapons.
Certainly, that's something that's very exciting heading into this year. A little side note, Kenny Stills was the first NFL player I ever interviewed back in London a few years ago, and it went horrendously. Oh, yeah. It went terribly. But
that
was entirely my fault. I bumbled my way through the entire thing. I think nerves got the better of me. It was horrendous. So hopefully I'll have a chance to rectify that in the future. But
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, sticking with the offense. Obviously, fellow new arrival from Miami, Laramie Tunsil, lining up at left tackle. What have you seen from him so far? Have you had a chance to speak with him yet?
Yeah, we haven't talked with any of the new guys yet. I think today some of them may chat with the media. But it's kind of like Stills. You know, all early signs and early, evaluations of him have been very, very good. Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien said he's been working double time, trying to pick up the offense, learn everything. And Watson's really happy. I mean, this is a bona fide franchise left tackle, and he's very young, and the Texans got him. Now, I know they gave up a whole lot, but the window, and I've made this point a few times, the window that he was going to be available by Miami, who knows how long that was going to happen or how long that was going to be open. It might have closed last Sunday. It might have, you know, stayed open until this week. It might have stayed open until the draft. You didn't know, and you kind of had to act. And when that was there, the Texans were aggressive. You can fault them for many things in these trades. You cannot fault them for being aggressive. And that's something that has not been said about this organization in years past. And I know everyone around here is very excited to have Tunsil in the fold because – it's one of those things where he's going to kind of raise the tide or raise the waters for all the boats on that offensive line. It's going to make things easier on the left guard next to him and in the center and so on and so on. And it's going to give Deshaun Watson a little bit more breathing room when we know what he can do with a little bit of breathing room.
Certainly, that's extremely exciting at this point in time. And I have to admit, I was perfectly happy. They gave up a lot, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
it's such an upgrade of that position, and it's such a solid player to put in that line. I think it's fantastic news, and I think it's going to help Titus Howard at left guard no end this year, so I'm really excited to see that. And I think that's fantastic news for the Texans, because that's exactly what Watson needed. He needed a bit more breathing room, and like you said, who knows what he can achieve this year. If he can just get a little bit more, it's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Over this past week, which players have impressed you most in training, so we know who to watch out for?
Tunsil, just basically knowing who he is and knowing what he'll mean to this offense, that's really been most impressive to me, because for the first time since Dwayne Brown was here, you've got a guy who you do not have to worry about. I mean, he is excellent. I mean, he's going to mean so much to this offense. And, you know, it's all about, I've said it a few times this offseason, it's all about sword and shield for Deshaun Watson, giving him weapons in the form of the sword and then giving him protection with the shield. So you did both of those things in the trade with Miami, getting Stills, getting Tunsil, and really you did it at the position where you really, really needed it most. They think Titus Howard, they think Max Sharping are going to be really, really good, but it just takes a little time adjusting from coming to the college level to the NFL. Now, ideally, you got three new offensive linemen who you think have very bright futures, and that's a good thing for this Texans offense.
Absolutely, and the Andrew Luck retirement, obviously, a couple of weeks ago now, one of the things that really highlighted, I know for a lot of people, me included, was how important it is to have good protection for the quarterback, especially early on in their career when they're developing. I mean, he didn't really have that for a good few years in Indy, and look what it did to his physical health at the end of the day. And that's something that it sort of woke up a lot of people, that's something that Deshaun Watson was potentially facing. I mean, he suffered 62 sacks last year and 50 or the year before. So it's definitely the right decision, in my opinion, to bring in Laremy Tunsil. And also Duke Johnson, he's a good pass blocker as well. So I'm excited about him in this offense as well, not to mention his receiving threat. I mean, what have you seen from Duke so far?
Yeah, they've got plans for Duke. You're going to see them line up at a lot of different spots. You'll see them go between the tackles, but they got some wrinkles, and I can't wait to see what those wrinkles are as they unleash them throughout the season. I had somebody ask me on the Dear Drew video that I do, are they going to use him and Hyde in the triple option? And I was like, I guess I've seen Stranger Things, but I don't think you'll see the triple option. But I do think there's chances you'll see Duke Johnson and another running back line up in the backfield together. And we've not seen that very often over the last, really the existence of the franchise, but certainly over the last decade. So I think there's going to be some things that pop up that we've not seen before out of this offense.
I'm hoping to see quite a bit of Colin Gillespie this year. I know he had a relatively quiet offseason, but I'm excited to have another fullback in the mix. I mean, what have you heard about him so far from the coaches, and what have you seen?
Well, when he lined up at fullback during training camp, he made plays. It was very interesting. He made a tremendous catch on a touchdown in the corner of the end zone later in camp when they're practicing against the Lions. So he had good hands. Like, he was catching the ball out of the backfield. Now, he's primarily – you're going to see him primarily on special teams.
Yeah.
He might line up on offense a little bit. But when he was out there on offense, he did good things. He made a difference. He was, an obvious plus. So who knows how they'll employ him. I'm not sure you're going to see him acting like the hammer that Vontae Leach was or a typical fullback. But, he's got some skills and stuff that can allow the Texans to be very creative offensively in who they put out, force defenses, personnel packages out there that the Texans can take advantage of, we think.
Certainly, and sticking with that backfield, one more player that comes to mind, obviously, is Carlos Hyde, another new arrival from the Chiefs. I mean, have you, again, same question, have you seen anything about him? Have you heard anything good about him so far?
Yeah, he's still working in the offense. He just joined the squad. It's been a tough couple years for him as far as productivity, but, the Texans kind of think the way they'll use him and the other backs there in the backfield, they've got something there that they think they'll get some pluses from. So it's been it's pretty quiet as far as what they tell us and what we get to see this week in practice. But, it's kind of one of those things where you'll see him. It might be kind of in a limited role early on, but, that'll grow as the season progresses.
Certainly. So moving on to New Orleans, I mean, how excited are you about how are you and everyone else about the trip down there and the game itself on Monday night?
Well, it's always a fun trip there. I mean, we'll get some oysters at Drago's the night before, and New Orleans is always a fun place to visit. I've never played there or been there for a game in which the Texans have played a prime timer, so that's going to be cool. It's loud, but, Deshaun Watson's played in loud environments. These guys have played in loud environments. They're going to hold their own. It's going to be a fun game, and I just can't wait to get it going.
And how tough do you think that atmosphere is going to be down there? I know the stadium's obviously notorious for it, but is it, especially on a Monday night game, is it going to be as difficult as you're led to believe?
It'll be loud, and they're going to be in a frenzy because they're still mad about the way their season ended.
Certainly.
Too. So, but again, once the game gets going, it'll just be like any other loud stadium. I don't know that it's going to be intimidating to anybody or some sort of different experience for anybody. It's just going to be loud, and you got to deal with that as far as communication and not, false starting, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not overly concerned about the environment.
So when it comes to the game itself, which battles are you most looking forward to seeing?
Well, how do you match up with Michael Thomas?
And certainly.
How do the Saints match up with DeAndre Hopkins? And when they do, what's that do for Will Fuller? And what's that do for Kenny Stills? And what's that do for the tight ends? We haven't mentioned the tight ends yet in this conversation, and I really think a lot of talent there. There's a lot of ways, like, again, we were talking about Gillespie and maybe some mismatches that might bring up, again, with these receivers and these tight ends, they can kind of force defenses' hands in a lot of different situations and get the Texans in advantageous passing opportunities or advantageous running opportunities that you might not see normally, or what we haven't seen from here or around here in quite some time.
Well, certainly. Well, it's sticking with the tight ends. Obviously, they've got a very diverse group there, and only one of which on the active roster was playing for the Texans last year. So it's a very new group as well, so we don't really know a great deal of what to expect. I mean, what have you seen from the likes of Fells, Adams, and Akins, and Paulson in his brief spell so far?
Well, when the Texans signed Fells initially this offseason, I didn't think too terribly much out of it, and then I looked and researched what he'd done, and then it made all the sense in the world. Okay, he's labeled as a blocking tight end. Okay, Texans need one of those. And when I talked to him, he kind of jokingly referred to himself as a left tackle or a right tackle, which by itself, like, Texans needed that. You know, that's very, very important. And so I thought, okay, well, this guy's going to make the team. And then you look closer at his stats. Anthony, he's got 10 combined touchdown passes the last three, four seasons. You've got to go back to Owen Daniels to find any tight end on this team that had that sort of scoring production. Ryan Griffin never did that. CJ Fedorowicz never did that. None of Steven Anderson, you can keep going down and on the list. You haven't had production like that from a tight end, and he's the blocking tight end. So the guy can actually catch touchdowns. He played professional basketball overseas. He's been in weird situations. He's seen quite a bit. He's older than these guys. He's been in the league a while. I really like that addition. I think he's going to be a very calming, steadying influence on this team. And he's somebody that can catch touchdowns in the red zone. You know, it's something that's a place where the Texans struggled last year.
Certainly.
In the red zone. And this is a guy that helps things out there. And then Akins, all that guy did during camp was get open and catch passes and move the chains. I mean, he was really, really impressive. And it didn't matter who was throwing him the ball. He was making the sticks move. So I can't wait to see what Akins does.
Certainly, it's going to be exciting to keep an eye out on them come Monday and obviously the rest of the season. So looking at this upcoming season, who do you have pegged as your, I know it's very early, but who do you have pegged as your offensive and defensive rookies of the year?
Well, offensively, I'm kind of partial towards Max Sharping. I think he's been really impressive in and off, you know, on the field and in the meeting room. So I look for him to kind of upgrade things up front. I think you're going to see quite a bit of him early on and really throughout the season. And then, you know, defensively, I guess I'll go with Omenihu. I think he's going to be a key pass rusher in certain situations, and I think he's got a chance to really step up and make some things happen up front for the Texans.
Excellent. I'm also going to throw Lonnie Johnson in there. I've been really impressed with him the last couple of weeks at cornerback. And then how about...
Really physical guy, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And then how about a potential breakout player this year?
I got to go with Akins. Just based on what we saw him do in camp, I mean, that's something that we really haven't seen around here, productivity from the tight end spot, you know, since Owen Daniels left. You've had guys in spurts do things, and I know during the Brock Osweiler year, those three, they combined to kind of catch a lot of passes, but I think you haven't had a go-to guy at that spot in a long time, and I think Akins could wind up being that guy.
Certainly. So to close this out, I always like to throw my guest off a little bit, as you know by now. So which of the Texans position groups would you most like to go to Bourbon Street with come Monday night?
Wow, I guess the defensive lineman, that's a fun crew. I mean, you got J.J. Watt at the top, so you know, you have a superstar. You'll be getting into any place. And then you got funny guys and D.J. Reader, Brandon Dunn. So, yeah, let's go with and they're all big, so you know, you don't have to worry about protection. So I'll go with the defensive lineman.
That sounds excellent. Drew, thank you very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure once again. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
We'll go to at Doherty Drew on Twitter, and that's the spot to find me, my friend.
Wonderful. Thank you very much once again. I've been your host of the week, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.